If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi everybody, welcome to the Renaissance Tennis Podcast, although I'm starting to think we should just call it the Patubzy Podcast. Welcome to day, what the hell?
Day eight.
Because it's day nine tomorrow.
But it's
we started
Sunday.
On Sunday.
Should we keep talking at the same time?
It's day eight, is now finished. It's day nine tomorrow.
But that's not true. We started on Sunday and today is Sunday. Those are 7 days, or am I crazy? No, you're right. It's 8 days.
Okay. Look, here's the bottom line. Hi, everyone. We're going to get into what happened today. And what's happening in the background, I don't know if you can hear it, is still the Rublev-Dimonov match, which is for love in the fifth. So we're going to do our podcast because we have to go to bed at some point. And we're going to let you know what happens in that match.
And just a little FYI from the side note, it's 4-0 for Rublev in the fifth. However,
he started to cramp.
Exactly. So three points ago, so we keep an eye on that.
We'll see what happens. All right, let's start with the guys. Novak, 6-love, 6-love.
6-3.
Djokovic. I mean, are you kidding me? Like, he made Mannarino look like a junior today. Although, having said that, Mannarino's played back-to-back-to-back five-set matches. The chances of him doing anything of importance today against Novak was about 0.0%, which is pretty much what we got.
The worst part about that is it felt like he wasn't playing that badly in the first two sets.
True.
He just lacked that extra substance and he can't really put away, you know, he doesn't have like, he has to outplay the other guy, and Novak didn't miss.
No, he didn't miss.
And
he knows what the guy's all about, right? Oh my God, Rublev is redlining right now because he knows he's choking. I mean, not choking.
Cramping.
That's hilarious.
The cramp is the choke of the muscle.
Yeah, it's exactly right. So anyway, so Novak looked absolutely incredible today. Like, you know, he's still not 100%. There's no question he still has a cold. He's talked about it. He sounds like he's not 100%. We've all heard him in the interviews. But having said that, absolutely flawless.
Well,
today.
And I remember yesterday at the podcast when I said I'm getting the feeling that he's aiming to peak in the second week, which is incredible for me that you are that good.
Confident,
of course, but he can be confident, right? But also that good that you can, that you know, I can be at 30-40% in the first week
win.
And still win.
Yeah, yeah.
And I asked him about this. I interviewed him today and I asked him about this and he said, yeah, you're absolutely right. Of course, that's not a guarantee that I will win it. But if you decide to play Davis Cup at the end of the year, it doesn't give you a lot of time to recover your body, so you have to make a compromise somewhere, and that was the compromise he was willing to take. And I thought that was like that was a fascinating insight into his planning.
You know how old he is comparative to Jannik Sinner, because, and we'll get into Jannik, but I interviewed Jannik after he won today, and Jannik said he couldn't wait to play again. And he goes, and I know it's only been a month and a half. I couldn't wait to play again. I was like, oh my God.
Wait, do you mean Jannik's internet?
Yeah, Jannik's internet. But anyway, we'll get into Jannik's match. But Novak goes up now against Taylor Fritz, who just played fantastic today.
Oh my God. He was so, I don't think, and I've seen him win Indian Wells. Like, I saw all three matches of his, the quarter, semis, and final, and I thought he played so well there. But this is the best I've seen him play, I think, yeah. Taylor, because he was coming to the net at times.
I know.
And he was always an amazing ball striker. He was always an incredible competitor. But there was something extra today.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you know, he and I have had a couple of funny conversations of late about his inability to want, or his... not inability, but his, what's the word? He doesn't want to come into the net. He doesn't want to volley. He doesn't trust his volley. His resistance. Thank you, my friend, who English is not your first language.
It's my third language. But you're welcome.
Speak better English than me. But his resistance to wanting to come into that, it's like the net is kryptonite to him. And I'm like, if I had that forehand, and frankly, if you had my volleys, you'd be really good. but he is, or if I'd had his forehand, I would have been good. But he just, the fact that he's aware of needing to come into the net, because when you play the players like Tsitsipas, especially Tsitsipas with his backhand, if you can come in on his backhand, you're going to win a lot of points.
Yes.
So if he's less resistant to coming into the net and work on it. And first thing he said to me today when I saw him, I said, well done, dude. You know, he's like, hey, did you see me coming in? So he's aware of it. He knows. And I said, listen, the more you do it, the more comfortable you become. And you may miss some, but you will make more than you miss if you keep coming in. And so I think that's super important for him to keep coming into the net, because you don't want to keep playing 5-set matches that you're playing 50 ball rallies. Yeah. It's fucking crazy.
Well, and with him, what I really liked, that he stuck with it through the end of the match, and the dividends paid off in the end. Sometimes when you play a match, especially in a best of five, you make tactical investments in the beginning stages of a match that pay off much later. They pay off in the most stressful moments when the other one is feeling the pressure. And today in the third set, and when it was so close in the tiebreak, when he was about to break, you could see Tsitsipas framing a few of those backhands, because he knew in. I can't slice it. I have to hit it, and that's the shot that goes.
That's right.
So the dividends came back that Taylor invested in the beginning stages of the match, and he kept with it.
And when he broke in the fourth, he came into the net, and he actually hit a couple of good volleys to break, and it was just like, there you go, bro. You know, the more, as you said, the more you invest in coming in and getting better under pressure. I mean, Novak's a perfect example. Novak, I would say, was a little resistant to coming into the net when he was younger, but he finishes points at the net. And that's important to finish, particularly when these guys all play so good from the back of the court.
Oh, my God. Deminor just saved match point. So that's why.
One match point. It's five love. It's not, he's not
winning. It wouldn't be that crazy if Rublev wasn't cramping.
True,
but Rublev is cramping, so you're feeling like, this could maybe.
He's going to have a full body cramp for it not to happen. But anyway, so I'm super happy for Taylor. Look, Taylor played Novak very, very, very well here a couple of years ago in the pandemic year.
It's 8-0, just so.
I understand. Yes. I get it. He played terrible at the US Open against him. But I actually think that, I don't think he's going to beat him, but I think that this is going to be better match than we saw at the US Open. And I think he feels good about playing him on Rod Laver. He played him really tough a couple of years ago.
5 sets.
And he is there's no question he is a better player this year than even last year. I really think that he's matured a lot over the last couple of months, and he can't carry on like a pork chop in this match. He has to keep his shit together and use his big weapons, and we'll see. He's not going to win, but
I do think that he needs, and this is, I think, a great challenge for him, if he wants to mature as a tennis player and if he wants to be dangerous in these Grand Slam tournaments, if he wants to be dangerous to the best players in the world right now, who are Novak and the others. Novak plus, as I like to call the ATP tour.
Yeah, Novak and.
Novak and dot, dot, dot. He needs to add something to his game. So this is an opportunity for him to bring a little bit of dimension in his game, which he showed today. So today was a great Taylor, future Taylor maybe, on the horizon.
And one thing he has added, which I think everybody can thank Carlos Alcaraz for this, is a
drop shot.
Forehand drop shot. Because his forehand is so big that people naturally start backing off. And then he puts that little inside out, very similar to Sinner as well.
Yannick's
internet has added that as well. He doesn't make it as much as, I mean, Carlos is so good at it, but
what did you think of Stefanos Tsitsipas's shadow jumping jack on Match Point. I saw you had a tweet about
absolutely
it.
Absolutely re-fucking-diculous. Is that a word? I just made a word up. That was the most absolutely fucking ridiculous thing I've absolutely ever seen on a tennis court. I mean, I got a few people saying it was a bit of Ikushiante.
Yes.
But
reminiscent.
What the fuck, dude? Like, you hit a shit half volley. It's in the air. Try and win the
first
point.
First of all, strange surf and volley.
Yeah,
and that
why
surf,
serve and
it
volley
wasn't
then?
A great surf. It wasn't a great surf to come in on.
But
even I know that, and I never played surf and
but,
volley.
But honestly, it would have been interesting if Taylor had missed that shot. That was 100% hindrance.
Oh, right.
100%
yes.
hindrance.
Yes, I never
So if he had lost the point, would they have called hindrance? Because I tell you what, is it possible for them to review that? I don't know.
It's not
it
possible
was
here.
Terrible.
That was only possible
at the US Open.
At the US Open, but here they don't have that rule in
yeah,
play, so they couldn't have.
It would have been an interesting situation because
yeah.
if I was Taylor and I lost that point, I would be ropeable to the umpire.
Well, you let's move on. You called
Sinner.
Jannik Sinner's match. You were courtside, so you got the honor and privilege of watching him up close.
Yeah.
See the small little ginger locks fly around. Maybe catch a little pearl of sweat.
I didn't get a pearl
maybe
of sweat.
Maybe get a whiff of his
I didn't get a
fragrance.
Pearl of sweat.
Maybe.
You know, can I tell you, I didn't tell you this this morning or last night when we did the pod from last night, but when Medvedev won his match yesterday, I was sitting directly across from him. Like literally as soon as he sits down, the first person he had to have seen every time was me because it was unavoidable.
I thought he looked a little bit unhappy during change of events.
It's very possible. But
now I know why.
Listen, I love Medi. He's always very sweet and nice and funny. But when he sat down, when he won the match, he looked directly at me and I was so happy that he won quickly because
yes.
I was so tired yesterday and I wanted to get out of there. And I looked directly at him and I gave a thumbs up and I pointed at my watch and I laughed and I went,
nice
and I
one.
Put the thumbs up and he started laughing. It was really quite funny. But anyway, Jannik Sinner was just, he was a little patchy at the beginning.
He played Karen Khachanov. That was probably the strongest opponent he had to face in this tournament. And Andrei Rublev.
There you go. Rublev wins the fifth set, 6-love. So we'll get to that match. But Jannik was a little up and down. Didn't serve great. It was only at about 54% first serve percentage. And I spoke to him
in
after
the match, in the entire match?
In the entire match. I spoke
was
to
it
him.
Windy?
It was a little breezy.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't easy, but still, that's not great stats for him. And the first one of the things that he said that he did not do well today is serve.
Okay.
So he's aware of that. I think his ball toss gets a little bit low, so he doesn't get that wrist snap at the top that he needed today.
So
he gets a little
long?
Yeah, he just gets a little bit fat on the bottom of the racket string. So
I sometimes thought, because I called all of his matches when he won Toronto, where he played so well. It was his first Masters 1000, ATP 1000 title. He sometimes keeps on the first serve only. He never does it on the second serve. He has another thing on the second serve sometimes. But on the first serve, he sometimes keeps his racket too long, low.
It lags.
And then when he gets it right, it's so perfect. But it feels like it's one blink of an eye. And if he does it too long, he doesn't get up on time. And then he hits it low and then it flies long.
Guess what? Which is why he needs to get his racket, his ball toss up a little higher. Because of the lag, he needs it a little bit higher so the lag can catch up and still get it at its highest point. And I did see
lag is L-A-G, not
L-A-G, not jet lag, but
yes.
lag meaning it's behind.
Yes.
It's a little
yes.
labored getting up.
Yeah.
And so I actually talked to Darren Cahill about it after the match. And I said to Darren, I just feel like his ball toss is too low on the first serve. And he goes, yeah, I know. It's the one thing that we consistently try and get him to understand.
Oh, interesting.
So I said, well, you can tell him that Renee said his ball toss was too low on the first serve today.
Well, that's going to change
and
the whole.
He will absolutely listen now.
I believe that. I believe that. Why
but I just
want to
say
he
didn't serve well. He was a little patchy. He was shanking a few forehands. He was making unforced errors that he wouldn't make normally. But he still managed to get the first set. He played, and Khachanov played an incredible point. It was 33-point shot rally, 15-30 at 5-all in the second. And Khachanov won the point to go 40-15 on his serve.
Mm.
And he you know, was gesturing to the crowd after it. It was an unbelievably taxing point. Jannik did not lose a point after that point. He broke serve. He won 4 points in a row. And then he won his serve to love. And it was two sets of love like that. And that is fitness level. That is his capacity to play those really long points and not get winded. And Khachanov tried to pull the trigger a little too early in the next 2 points. And it was because he was still exhausted from the 15-40 point.
Oh, right.
So for me, that shows Jannik's fitness level is unbelievably high. And also he understood that that was a great point and not to get down about it. And he has an amazing ability to let go of shit quickly. And that, to me, he did not lose 1 point after that. And then in the third set, he was just too good. He raised his level in the third set another level, like 10, 15% higher in the third set. And he said to me after the match he was really happy with the way he finished because he did play very, very well. So, I mean, you consider today was tough for him, a tough match. That's how good he's played in throughout the whole tournament. He's not getting pushed at all.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Let's hear a little bit about Karen Khachanov.
Yeah.
The long lost Hemsworth brother.
Yeah.
We have rediscovered him. He's in Australia. He's playing at the Australian Open. Yeah. He's quite good. How does he look to you? He was gone for a while.
Yeah,
he was injured.
Good.
Yeah, nice.
I think it comes back to the fitness level just wasn't quite there.
Yeah.
I think because he's a big guy. You know, he's about the same height as Jannik, maybe a little bit taller, but he's just bigger. And Jannik moves around the court with such
nimble.
He's so nimble. He's very much like Novak, where he's so flexible. He gets down so low to the ball. And there was a couple of times today where one of the things that really hurt Karen was there was a bit of wind down one end. And if the ball was mid-court, and as you know, you've got to make a quick decision to get up there and either hit it and come in or hit it and get back. And Karen was like a little bit unsure, and he hit it long because the wind was behind him.
Right.
Whereas Jannik has that whip on his forehand and backhand, so he can whip it better with the wind, and he gets so low to the ground. It's incredible for a guy so tall.
Do you think it's interesting, or what do you think about it just in general, whether you think that's interesting or not, that the new successful body type on the men's tour is a bit different than it was maybe 10 years ago? If we think of the...
Flexible.
Yeah, because if you think of the guys that were good... I'm taking Federer
Andy
out
Roddick.
Now. But Andy Roddick, Tsonga, Berdych...
Del Potro.
Those were huge guys with a lot of muscle mass who tend to get injured a lot.
Yeah.
And now I think Novak has really kind of revolutionized tennis, the body type for tennis, where he's much lighter.
I mean, even Rublev, who just won, is quite skinny and flexible and
Medvedev.
Slides. Medvedev, obviously Jannik. So, yeah, I mean, you have to be able to run and slide and be nimble and flexible, and you have to have unbelievably strong core and legs. And tennis is a very, very taxing sport. So Jannik Sinner now goes up against Rublev. The two ginger heads are going to go at it. It's going to be awesome. Rublev win a quarterfinal match?
Much more important question.
Yeah.
Who has the better hair? Jannik Sinner or Andrei Rublev?
I mean, look at this guy. We're looking at Rublev on the court right now, and
he
has so much hair, it's unreal.
He has so much hair. He's also very pasty.
He's very pasty, and he's been in Australia, and it doesn't matter. I love him, and I love the fact that his shirt says, play for the kids.
I think everyone loves him. Like, there is literally nothing
wrong with Andrei. He's crazy, and we love
him
for it. So anyway, you've got crazy redhead against...
And look who's interviewing him.
And who's interviewing?
Another redhead.
Jim Courier, another gingerhead.
We love them.
Anyway, that's going to be an incredible quarterfinal, and of course, Jannik and Rublev and Novak and Taylor Fritz. So now on the women's side,
yes,
Marta Kostyuk wins over Timofeeva, the qualifier. Mm-hmm. Marta won fairly comfortably. There was a few like gestures to Sandra up in the coach's box and losing her mind again, but she pretty much won that fairly comfortably today. Looked really good. I'm happy for her.
Yeah.
To get through to her first quarterfinal. She got to, I believe, the third round here as like a 15-year-old.
Yeah, exactly.
So she's like now old and married at like, what, 21?
21, exactly, yes.
So it's nice to see her get through. And she's good enough to be in this situation. It's not like you're like, oh, I'm shocked she's there. She's a good player.
No, she's a very good player. And she actually, I talked to her after the match. I interviewed her. And she was playing with a lot of variation today, and she won 21 out of 29
coming to the
net points. Yeah, I think you would be very happy with that.
Yeah.
And I asked her about that variety in her game, and she said that in the off season they've been trying to put a bit more structure on it, because it felt to her sometimes she could hit all the shots, and she would sometimes try to do so.
And now
they are trying to put a bit more structure, when to hit, when to change it up, and it seems to be working really well for her. Yes, the jaw fell apart a little bit there, but
not as much as it did on the other side.
Well, and she did beat, because we sometimes forget, because now she beat Timofeeva and everyone's like, oh, that's such a good jaw. She did beat Elise Mertens, who is playing a really good start of the season, 7-6 in the third, in a 2-hour-53.
Yeah, epic battle.
Epic battle.
And that was Sakari's section.
That was Sakari's section that fell apart. Sakari, so she's there for a reason, Marta Kostyuk. She's playing very, very well. I see a wall in front of her, because the wall I saw play today, and the wall's name is Coco Gauff. Man, she was bloody good today.
Yeah.
She was bloody good, and I hadn't seen her that much.
Was she bloody good, or she's playing against a girl that she should be absolutely crushing?
No, she was bloody, bloody good, because I was sitting courtside, and I've never seen Coco play courtside. I've always watched her on screens, or I played with her, I practiced with her. I've never seen her from the side, and the thing that was so stunning to witness, the way she moves in and out of the court, and the way she changes the margin above the net, the height above the net, depending on where she's positioned in the court. I was like, man, this woman understands tennis
19.
Like no other, and she's a teenager.
Yeah.
What in the world? It took me 16 years of studying this game meticulously to get even to 50% of what she already possesses, whether that is instinctively or because she consciously sees it. But every time she was caught a bit behind the baseline, whoop, a little spin, a little margin,
and
gets
then bang,
back,
straight
and
back
then in. Bang gets into it and goes. And on, in the second set, the forehand did get a little bit, did go a little bit waywire. I will.
Waywire,
is that a word? Wayward?
Wayward, yeah.
Yeah, wayward. And we are just seeing Katie Balter hugging
Alex
Deminor, who looks very sad. And he played so well. I mean, it's hard. This sport is so
it's
hard.
It's brutal. This sport is so brutal. But so Coco up against Kostyuk. So two young guns going at it again. Women's tennis is so, it went through a phase where it was only like the older players that were doing well.
Yeah.
Now it feels like we're back to the early 90s
yeah,
with some of these
true.
Young players. So it's
true.
Great to see.
And talking about young players, one of the youngest players that was still left in the draw,
Mira Andreeva.
She went out today against a very good Barbora Krejcikova, especially in the first set was horrible from both players. It got so cold. They played on John Cain Arena. It was so windy, and both were playing absolutely terrible. And they went off after the first set. Both of them went off. That's how bad it was. Even the player who won it.
Oh, this is terrible. These people have paid money to watch us.
Well, and they came back, and I almost felt like they both picked up the level, and I almost felt like that was to Mira's detriment, because you know when you hit the ball cleaner, that's worse if you play against Krejcikova, because she has such incredible timing. So the better Mira played, the better Krejcikova played.
Yeah.
And then she was just physically done, Mira Andreeva. She was fighting, she was trying,
she's
16. But she was done. She's
like,
16.
You know, when she's 4 years from now, she will no chance lose a match like that, because she'll physically, like Coco, and Coco was quite advanced athletically. But when you think about where Coco was at 16, very similar to Andreeva at some point, because Coco was still skinny, but she was quick and all that sort of stuff. But now she's becoming a woman. Like, she is so strong, Coco. And I think Andreeva will also be maybe not as strong as Coco, but certainly as quick because she's fast.
Yeah, she's very fast. And endurant, and she will have very great endurance. I think great endurance.
Has chutzpah. She's gonna be less dramatic,
yeah,
less carry on, less, you know, yelling at the box and all that, and carrying on like a bit of a pork chop. She's going to be really fucking good in a year or two. She already is really good.
She already is.
Krejcikova managed to find a way. And look,
and the last set she played so well, Krejcikova. And I have to say one. She is. And I have to say one thing, and I was so impressed by her. She kept running to the net in the second set, and she was not making one point, to the extent that I said on air, I was courtside, I was like, is this the right game plan here, guys? Krejcikova. What are we, Krejcikova? Because she was not winning one point, but she kept backing herself, and all of a sudden she figured it out, and she didn't lose a point at the net in the second half of the second set and the third at all anymore. And I was like, okay, she understands what she's doing. She lost to Mira Andreeva twice before already, was 0-2 in head-to-head. And I guess she had put her, she tried in the first set to do what she's always done, went out and was like, this is not working. I've lost 5 sets in a row now.
What I gotta do?
What do I have to change?
And what have I gotta do to get a win?
Exactly. And so she came back, changed the game plan. And even though it wasn't working, she backed herself. It paid off. And
she's got a nice little match up against Aryna Sabalenka.
The player of the tournament so far, really.
She was. I want to say Amanda Anisimova, what a great tournament she had. She's come back. What is the second tournament that she's been back for since like 7 months? Incredible tournament that she had. She beat some really, really good players on the way. But today was the first time where she walked on the court and she was not happy.
Mm.
She looked stressed.
Mm.
She looked like the expectation actually got to her because she was 4-1 against Sabalenka. And you know she was asked about that 6 bazillion times in practice. Well, you know you're 4-1 against Sabalenka. You know you have a winning record against Sabalenka, i.e. you know you're supposed to win this match now. And all of a sudden you're like, wait a second. I'm not prepared to win this match right now. I'm not prepared to be the favorite. Yeah. I'm prepared to come out like I have in every other match and be the underdog and smoked people. And all of a sudden it was like, I'm not supposed to be the favorite and smoke this girl. She's the number 2 player in the world and the former she's the defending champion. And I think it all just got too much for her because she was not happy. In the first 3 or 4 games, she looked a little bit miserable, to put it mildly. And then throughout the whole match, she was throwing a racket. She was complaining about the rain. She wanted the roof closed. She was like bitching about shit. All normal when you know what that feeling is like to be the... not be the favorite, but to have a lot of expectation to play a great match.
Well, interesting.
And to possibly win.
Yeah, it was similar with Mira Andreeva. Yeah. She had that a little bit
first
in
time.
Her. Yes, because she was, as I said, 2-0 head-to-head against Krejcikova. And it just seemed like she expected herself to win this. Like,
yeah.
I won against her twice.
Yeah, I'm actually the favorite.
Yes, I should win this. And also Barbora she's played herself back into the top 10, but she hasn't played as well as we've been used from her for the past in the last season.
So Amanda she made so many unforced errors at the beginning of the match. You could tell she was so frustrated. She was like, I can't make... At one point she turned around to Mark Lucero, her coach, and was like, I can't make anything. And you know, the shame about it is if she just sort of been calmer, I'm sure she would have played better and been right into it. But Sabalenka she's too experienced now to let anything affect her, and she won fairly comfortably in the end. But nice to see Amanda Anisimova get back. So,
but the last player we will talk about, because we have them all, it's going to get shorter and shorter, but we are talking longer and longer, so we make it work. The life balance is up. But Aryna Sabalenka has looked the best so far at the Australian Open. There's no doubt about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And, you know, with, you know, top seeds dropping left and right, and the other side of the women's draw is so decimated. Not decimated. I don't want to, you know, say that there's not great players in there. There's the Svitolinas, but there is nobody other than Azarenka in that section of the draw that's been to a final of a Grand Slam. Okay, think about that. The Kilinskayas, the Noskovas, the Yastremskas, Paolini, Qinwen
Zhang.
If I get like Qinwen if I say
Zhang.
It the wrong way, Caitlin's gonna never ever talk to me again.
It's Qinwen
Zhang.
Technically, it's Zhang Qinwen.
Thank you. Okay. And Ocean.
What do I know, right?
Yeah, what do I know? You're German / Serbian / English / I don't even
Do I know?
But you say it better than I do. But listen, anyway, Qinwen Zhang is a player that I think can get to the semis. But listen, here's the deal, guys. We're getting to the nuts and bolts of this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate you listening to us. It is almost midnight again here in Melbourne.
I can't believe you forgot to mention that tomorrow the most important match of the tournament
is that's
on.
Right. Let me say it. If you have a streaming service, you get to see Petco play at 11 o'clock local time. So get your streaming out and watch her play.
On John Cain Arena.
On John Cain Arena at 11 o'clock. This is why, if you follow
Melbourne,
me...
Melbourne is being shut down because the Queen has finally arrived.
If you saw my Instagram story from yesterday, she's been working out. I have been drinking beer and she's been working out. So
it's going to be very embarrassing.
Tune in, people. Watch us on ESPN. And if you are not watching ESPN or if you watch the ESPN stream, you will also get Petco commentating the world feed. And thanks for listening to us again, guys. We love you all. And we're going to say gute Nacht and tschüss. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.